Here, and I would like to take some readings from the book of Psalms, four readings, and the commencing one is in Psalm 31. Psalm 31 will be our first reading, and we'll read here at verse 11, Psalm 31 and verse 11. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbours, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side, while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. Now, verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret, that is, them that fear thee, hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvellous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. Now a word from Psalm 52, the same book and chapter 52, and we read here at the end of the chapter verse 8 of Psalm 52. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Now over a number of pages to Psalm 102. Psalm 102. And we read at verse 6. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping. Verse 12, But thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations. The end of the chapter, verse 25, Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. All of them shall wax old like a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou change them, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end. The children of thy servants shall continue, and their seed shall be established before thee. And the last place to read is Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And we come into the section at verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? Now that's a variety of reading. We trust the Lord's blessing upon his word. It was in the earlier part of this year that's almost gone from us that I happened to be travelling from this country on a flight from Dublin, and the flight had occasion to stop for about an hour or so in Shannon Airport. We had to disembark, and when we were putting in some time just walking through Shannon Airport, my eye caught a poem that was displayed, very prominently displayed, on the wall of the airport there. It was a poem written by an English man by the name of John Clare. He lived about the late 1700s into the early 1800s. I have no reason to think that he was a believer. He was a man that had a very difficult life, difficult upbringing, quite a number of setbacks in life, spent quite a few years in a mental institution, in a private asylum. It was while he was in that asylum that he wrote some of his best poetry. And one of the most pessimistic poems that he ever wrote was the poem that was displayed in Shannon Airport. You may have heard of his famous poem, I Am. I read you the first verse here, and particularly the first couple of lines. He says, I am, yet what I am, no one cares or knows. My friends forsake me, like a memory lost. I am the self-consumer of my woes. They rise and vanish in oblivious host, like shades in love and death's oblivion lost. And yet I am, and live with sorrows, with shadows tossed. If you think of the first two lines of that poem, I am, yet what I am, no one knows or cares. I felt very sad because I presume that behind the writing of those lines was the heart of a man that had lost the point and the purpose in living. He felt himself to be abandoned. He felt himself to be a lonely creature on an orphan planet. I am, yet what I am, no one knows or cares. Those are words that no Christian can ever take, because there will always be someone who knows, and there will always be someone who cares. What way is 2011 leaving you? What form are you in? What kind of shape are you in? How do you feel physically? Well, someone says, it has been a tough year in my health. How do you feel spiritually? You may be on a high. Maybe tonight, on the final evening of this year, you're in an all-time spiritual low. How would you describe yourself? How would you depict yourself? You see, in this book of Psalms, it's a great book of the Bible, we identify with it. On four occasions, and only four, we have a personal simile introduced. In one of the passages, we have a number of similes in short succession. But in these four passages, we have four personal similes introduced to describe how the poet pictured himself. In the first passage that I want to speak about, what we read in Psalm number 31, he says, I am like a broken vessel. I am like a broken vessel. In the second one that I want to go to, in Psalm 102, he says, I am like a pelican in the wilderness. The third one that I'll visit with you just in a couple of minutes, he says, I am like a bottle in the smoke. And the fourth one, he says, Psalm 52, I am like a green olive tree. So there we have four similes, and I wonder, can you identify with any one of them? In his uselessness, he said, I am like a broken vessel. In his loneliness, he said, I am like a pelican in the wilderness. In his dryness, he said, I am like a bottle in the smoke. In his freshness, he said, I am like a green olive tree. So I hope the Lord will help us as we take just a brief look, a short visit to each one of these poems, and we enter into the spirit and into the simile and into the soul of the writer in each one of these occasions. What do you do with a broken vessel? Well, you scrap it. A broken vessel is a vessel that has seen better times. A broken vessel is one that used to sit upon the table, and it used to be as useful as any of the other vessels. It used to be serviceable. It used to be on the shelf waiting for the master's use. It used to sit upon the table at the master's banquets. But something has happened, and this once fair and fine vessel has become fractured. It has become damaged, and you just scrap it. Well, I'm glad that we have a God who doesn't scrap broken vessels. I would suspect, I don't know the details of every life here, but I suspect we have a few pieces of cracked crockery in this meeting. Sometimes a vessel can be broken because it gets a bit of a knock with a vessel beside it. And it becomes damaged. Maybe somebody drops it. But for one reason or another, a vessel can be damaged, or it can be dropped, and it becomes broken. You know, David wrote this psalm, and he had been damaged. I think he wrote the psalm when he was a young man persecuted by Saul. And Saul had done him hurt, and Saul had done him harm, and Saul had chased him, and had thrown his javelin at him, and Saul had slandered him. He said, my very neighbors dismiss me. I'm forgotten like a man, a dead man out of mind. He says they have slandered me on every side. He says their tongues have never stopped wagging. And the people that I trusted, they have let me down. I'm just a broken vessel. He says, oh God, throw me on the scrap heap. David had still 30 years ahead of him. 30 of the best years of his life. Maybe, my dear Christian, you have come on this Saturday evening just to pay your last farewell to 2011. Maybe people have dropped you. Maybe as you scan back over the months of this year, there's somebody let you down. They dropped you. Maybe there's somebody knocked against you and gave you quite a bit of hurt. And just tonight you feel like a broken vessel. You feel as if you're fractured and there isn't any future. You feel as if your days of usefulness, they're all in the history. My dear Christian, you can take encouragement from this passage tonight. As great a man as David was, the man that strummed his harp and gave Israel some of the sweetest songs they ever sang, was a man at times who had his down days. And there were times when he felt, things have gone against me until there's no repair for such a fractured, damaged creature as I have been. But in the midst of all his disillusionment, and he thinks about the hurt that he has received, he lifts up his heart and he says, Thou art my God. He said, that's the hope I have. He said, I have a relationship with you, O God. And he said, whatever hurt and damage I have suffered, he said, this relationship with you has never been injured in the slightest. And he said, I want to tell you more. He said, my times are in thine hand. He said, in the midst of my hurt, he said, there's a hold. There's a God that holds my times. And he's not only a God that holds, but he said, he's a God that hides. He said, you will keep me in your pavilion from the strife of tongue. He said, you have got a special tent of spiritual protection. He said, I will keep close to you. And in my brokenness and in my uselessness, he said, I will cling to you. You will hold me and you will hide me. Dear Christian, you can still lay hold upon the same truth. Let the arm of your faith reach up tonight, just on this 31st of December, and here at 9:10, take a fresh grip upon God. You might have been hurt and humbled, and you might have been hounded and hated in this year that has passed. You have maybe suffered reproaches in the place of your employment. You have maybe suffered disappointment and rejection in your family. You have maybe even had discouragement in the assembly. Whatever angle it has come from, here's a man that has been on that path before you. And he appreciates that in the midst of all my broken spirit, there's a God who holds. And he could say, and we can say, my times are in thine hand. There's a God who hides. And he said, thou heardest the voice of my supplications. He said there was a time when there was nobody wanted to listen to me. And he said there was a time when I had become such a persona non grata. He said there was no one even wanted to let on that they knew me. My very acquaintances. He says they kept me at arm's length. And he said, I was so ostracized that I didn't have a friend to whom I could go and weep upon his shoulder and pour into his ear the tale of my woes. But he said, there's one thing I always had the privilege of. He said, I could speak in prayer and thou heardest. The God who holds, the God who hides, the God who hears. Dear Christian, whatever your situation is, maybe you identify right here. If that's the case, thank God at the end of the year, like a broken vessel, don't become unduly discouraged. God may not be finished with you yet. He wasn't finished with David. There may be still great days to come. The best may yet to be, even on earth, it certainly is yet to be as far as eternity is concerned. A broken vessel. But then that second figure that we thought about from Psalm 102, and another likeness that this psalmist invokes, not now so much in his uselessness, but in his loneliness. He said, I'm just like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. He said, I'm like an owl in the desert. He said, I'm like the pelican in the wilderness. Like a pelican in the wilderness. You don't need me to tell you that a pelican is a water bird. What was this pelican doing in the wilderness? If he had said, I'm a pelican beside a lake, or I'm a pelican in the marshland, well, that's the environment for a pelican. But to say that I'm a pelican in the wilderness, the only conclusion that I can come to is that this pelican in its migration had been blown off course. And when it had been flying north to get the marshy waters, some unexpected storm had carried it off target into a wilderness, and the poor pelican found itself stranded in a situation where it naturally and normally never would be. Anyone there tonight? I know some of the Lord's people, and if you had spoken to them this night 5 years ago and said, tell me this, if the Lord hasn't come by the end of 2011, what way do you think things will be? They would have told you, well, we hope the girl will be married, and we hope the boy will be out of university, and we hope they'll both be breaking bread. But it hasn't worked out like that. And as they made their course across the terrain of these 5 years, the storms of life have blown things off course, and they find themselves marooned in some wilderness where they never expected to be, lonely and forlorn, and things have changed beyond what they ever dreaded or dreamt. He said, I'm like an owl of the desert. You know what an owl is. The old owl screeches and hoots amongst the ruins of an old castle, some once palatial building. And when it becomes uninhabited, and when the thing begins to decay and fall to pieces, that's just the very place where an owl can sit up on the crag of some corner and can screech out into the darkness. You know, maybe you're looking on a life tonight that once was quite a nice bungalow. You had your little palace, nicely decorated. Your job was nicely in place. The business was doing fine. But as you look round tonight upon your little empire, it's what used to be. It's just the miserable ruins. The decaying ruins of what once was prosperous. We feel it very keenly, dear Christians. There are some believers, maybe some of them here, and certainly a great number who are not here, and the credit crunch has taken its toll. And business is tough. And through no fault of the people that I'm thinking of, they have become victims, the victims of this very, very deep-seated recession. And they're caught in the whirlpool of euro crisis and all of that. And many of them are like a pelican in the wilderness or an owl of the desert looking upon the desolate ruins of a once, or a sparrow alone upon the housetop. I love to read that book. You hear me refer to it often. William Thompson's book on Palestine, the land and the book. And he travelled in Palestine extensively, an American man from Ohio. And he travelled in Palestine over 100 years ago. And he refers to some of these things. In fact, he had a beautiful paragraph on the pelican. And he said, as the pelican sits hunched down and his big bill resting upon its chest, it's about the most melancholy bird that he ever saw. Maybe there's a melancholy Christian here tonight. And he said, then there's a little sparrow. He said, the little sparrow, they're a very friendly little bird and they're always fighting. And he said, you often see them on the roof of an Oriental house. And where you see one, he said, you'll see half a dozen. And they're squirring about and they're squabbling and they're ducking and they're diving. But then he said, one of them loses its mate. And he says, the little survivor sits upon the roof and it sings out its lonely song. And it bleats a plaintive note because its mate is gone. And he says it sings a shrill note of sorrow until you would feel the little creature was going to bleat its heart away. Oh, loneliness. Is there anyone here tonight, and you'll be going in an hour, less than an hour, you'll be going into a home, you'll turn on the light, you'll close the door, it will all be quiet. A voice that used to cheer the loneliness of the chamber is no longer heard. 2011 has brought its bereavement. You've attended your burial. Changes have come. If you may not feel like a broken vessel, if that simile doesn't identify with you, or if you can't identify with it, maybe, dear Christian, you feel like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. And inside the four walls of your house, the loneliness is palpable. Well, you say, what was the answer there? You know, in Psalm 31, he said, thou art my God. You know what he said in Psalm 102? It was referred to in prayer. He said, the world changes. The universe changes. He says, they shall perish. As a vesture, thou shalt fold them up. They shall be changed. But he says, thou art the same. He said, not only did I say in Psalm 31, a relationship, thou art my God. He said, whatever friends I have lost, there's a friendship with God that I have never lost. He said, now in Psalm 102, amidst all the changes, there's nothing seems to be the same. But he says, thou art the same. There's a reliability. Dear Christian, one of the sweetest texts that we can lean upon as we leave this year and we take our tentative steps into another year in a few hours in the will of God. One of the sweetest texts that we take is this: Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. A broken vessel, like a broken vessel, like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. We have read a third like this, a third simile. In Psalm 119, he says, I am like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. What does that picture say to you? What does that suggest to your mind? You know, I was saying the other day up the road, and I say it here again, it's great, dear Christian, to get logged into the colour of the Bible. The Bible's a book with a palette of many colours, and we need to get our minds engaged with some of its beautiful, very, very graphic, figurative languages. And this is a picture of an ancient and oriental cottage and the old skin bottle. It's not a bottle of a ceramic bottle, or certainly not a glass bottle. It's an old skin bottle, and it's hanging up from the ceiling of the old smoky cottage. And the fire is burning. They hung the bottles there to dry them out. And as the smoke curls up in this old cottage without a chimney, it gathers round this skin bottle. And it gets blackened and it gets brittle. Gets brittle. And he says, I feel just like one of those bottles. He says, the surroundings are not... Wonder, is there any Christian here and you're like a bottle in the smoke? Maybe it's university life. Maybe some of those lectures you go to, you're the only Christian. And the other people have quite a vocal, atheistic outlook. And as you sit in your classroom or in your tutorial, you feel that you're just like a skin bottle surrounded by smoke. And all the cloudiness and the murkiness and the confusion of unbelief, you feel it's an alien environment. The surroundings of the smoke. And then he said, I feel under pressure. I'm just like a bottle dried up. I've become brittle. And he said, I feel just, if anybody give me any extra pressure, I will just crack. One of those old bottles, it became so dry that it could just break at any time. Anyone here nearly breaking point? Circumstances of life have crowded in upon you. You feel yourself to be spiritually dehydrated. You've just had as much as you can take, and you're about to brittle and blacken. You know, sometimes Christians do get blackened. I have known in 2011 one or two, and they were fairly well blackened with the smoke of gossip. You say, where there's smoke, there's no smoke without a fire. We have some great smokers amongst us. They could puff out quite a bit of smoke, and they could blacken a man, and they could hang him up to dry, and just leave him like a bottle in the smoke. You say, well, what do you do then? He says, yet do I not forget thy statutes. He said, in all my uncomfortable, uncongenial, alien environment, he says, I never let the word of God to get out of my soul. Dear Christian, I say to you, whatever your situation in life is, be it ever so difficult, keep close to the Lord and keep close to his word. Because his statutes will sustain you in the midst of all the smoke and in the midst of all the stress. Like a broken vessel. Like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Like a bottle, a skin bottle, hanging up in the smoke. In fact, in Psalm 119, he doesn't say, thou art my God. And he doesn't say, thou art the same. But a few verses after this, he says, thou art my hiding place. There's a relationship. There's a reliability. There's a refuge. It's all to be found in the Lord. Thank God for what we have in Christ as we leave another year. But those are rather negative. Those are rather negative pictures. And I have 90 seconds for this last picture. It's the most precious one. He says in Psalm 52, this same man, David, he says, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. What a great picture. There's a freshness with it. He said, you know those olive trees? Well, they're a beautiful tree, aren't they? And they have a great deal of usefulness. And they can grow even in very rocky ground. In fact, they like rocky ground. They get their roots well away down in between the crevices of the rock. And they take a grip on ground. You know, that's it, dear Christian. I am like a green olive tree in the house of our God. I would say to everyone here, if you want to have some degree of rootedness, stability, get your roots well anchored in the assembly. Make the assembly your spiritual home. I am like a green olive tree in the house of my God. Get the thing. Don't just be there as an irregular visitor. Don't just be a part-timer. Don't just come as a tourist to the assembly meetings once a week or once a month. I'm not talking about people with infirmities and health problems. I'm not swiping at that. You know what I'm talking about. Make sure you're there like an olive tree planted in the house of God. An olive tree, it's not only a picture of stability, it's a picture of supply. You know, an olive tree supplies. Well, it's good for food. When the lady of the house wants to do a little baking, she'll need her olive oil to make a cake of bread. It supplies what's good for food. An olive tree is good for light. If you need a little oil to keep your lamp burning, the olive tree will help you in this situation. It's good for perfume. In an oriental climate where things are sweating and stifling and sticky, there's nothing more refreshing than anointing with olive oil. You know, an olive tree was a very useful tree for food, for cooking, and for fragrance. You be like that. That's what you want to be in the assembly. By the help of God for 2020. You know, there are some poor preachers, they're in the assembly like a thorn bush. They would give you a jag any day. Or a bit of a bramble. It's great, dear Christian, to be like an olive tree. Bring a little bit. Bring the Christian. Yes, sir. Bring the assembly something that'll be good for food. And when your contribution's done, the Christians will go away from the meeting and they'll be able to bake a wee bit of bread. Bring something that's good for light. Give the Christians a little contribution, and when they go away home into a dark world, you'll have given them a little oil in their lamp to keep them burning. Give them something that's refreshing and something that's fragrant. And he said, I'm like a green olive tree. He said, on a warm day, weary travellers will be able to sit down beneath my shadow. And they'll get a little bit of very comfortable rest. Provide a shadow for people. A shelter. May God grant that if we are given another year, that we'll be able to identify with the poet of Psalm 52. And we'll make a contribution, a positive contribution, a spiritual contribution. I could speak about the Mount of Olives. You know, the olive groves was where your Saviour and mine spent his final night before Calvary. He prayed in the olive trees of Gethsemane. May God grant that each of us would emulate and would ask for this spiritual. Are you a broken vessel? Like a broken vessel? Are you like a lonely sparrow? Are you like a bottle in the smoke? Or are you like a green olive tree. May God grant that we'll be encouraged with these singular four personal similes. We can identify with them. Well, you say, I hardly know what I'm like. Well, just before I stop, and time is up now, just before I stop, I'm going to tell you what you will be like. And don't forget this. We don't know what the next year will be like. But I know, dear Christian, how every one of us is going to finish. You know what the psalmist said? He said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I say something to every Christian here. With all your arthritis, with all your angina, with all your Alzheimer's, with all your amnesia, with all the foibles, fractures and failures, I say to every one of us here, as we come to the closing notes of 2011, dear Christians, it's looking bright ahead. We can say with Mr. Darby, is it so? We shall be like thy Son. Is this the grace which he for us has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to his blessed likeness brought. For all eternity, dear Christian, we'll not be like broken vessels. We'll not be like lonely sparrows. We'll not be like smoking bottles. We'll bear the imprint of the likeness of the Savior. May God grant that we'll be encouraged as even we think of these personal similes and precious prospects from the book of Psalms. May the Lord bless his word.
Amen. Thank you very much, brother. We trust that all will be blessed as a result of what has gone forth here tonight. Now, can we sing together, please, number 731. 731. O child of God, there is for thee a hope that shines amid the gloom, a gladsome hope that thou shalt see thy Lord, for he will surely come. And the chorus says, he'll come. Yes, he'll come and tie not, he'll come. Yes, he'll come and tie not. He'll come, he'll come, he'll come and tie not. If it's convenient, I would ask you to stand to sing 731.